if you look around the Kansas countryside, you'll see that already, with our milder weather, those anhydrous ammonia tanks have been rolling. Many producers are already putting down fertilizer, either as a top dress for their winter wheat or in advance of the row crop planting season. Well, our guest now has put together a new analysis which gives us an idea of fertilizer prices ahead based on what we've seen in past trends. Greg Ibendahl from the Agricultural Economics Department is with us once again. Greg, before we go any further, you've put this information together, but lend us some perspective on the importance of fertilizer prices when we talk about farm income in Kansas.
Well, I think if you look at the ranking of all the expense categories across the state for all the crops, I think you'll see machinery tends to be the highest one, about 35% or so of total expenses. But fertilizer is probably the second biggest one. It typically accounts for about 20% of all of our expenses now. And that has come up quite a bit over time. I mean, at one point, if you look at, especially at western Kansas, it was probably at less than 10%. But the changing crop mix across Kansas, where we're planting a lot more corn and soybeans across the state and probably some less wheat, those are all crops that are going to, especially on the corn side, are going to use more fertilizer. So we really have upped the amount of fertilizer that we've had. And also things like higher prices will cause us to use more of an input too, because that justifies higher levels of fertilizer levels. So those years from like 2007 to 2012, where we had some really good grain prices and corn prices, we put a lot more fertilizer on than we probably would typically in some years.
Now, we might note, it depends on the region of the state as well, western Kansas versus eastern Kansas, how much producers are spending on fertilizer applications, right?
Yeah, certainly, you know, the eastern side of the state where you're going to plant more corn, soybeans, and have a more concentrated crop mix with more corn, you're going to see higher fertilizer use there, because corn's a pretty heavy user of fertilizer, as opposed to like something like wheat or something like that.
But, and you said this before, but to lend numbers to it, actually fertilizer prices have doubled, you say, in this analysis since the 1990s.
Yeah, well, I've kind of looked at mainly over the last 5 or 6 years of fertilizer prices. So actually the last 2 years haven't been too bad for fertilizer prices. They've actually come down some. But the previous years before that, they were quite a bit higher. And we basically saw fertilizer prices in real dollar terms probably, you know, approach $70 per acre, depending upon the region of the state that you were in. And that was certainly higher than what it was back in the mid-1990s.
So why a producer should scrutinize very closely their fertilizer prices as a part of their overall income outlook here heading into 2017. You see this as a potential cost management area.
Well, you know, especially with the way our budgets are showing as far as potential profitability is concerned, that, you know, there's not a whole lot of air in there for producers to make any money here. So it's going to pay them to watch every area as closely as they can and really watch the amount of inputs that we're using as best they can to maximize their profits. So again, you know, lower prices would tend to indicate that we'd probably use a little bit less fertilizer. You may have heard some people say, oh, you always want to maximize yields. But that, with the input, that may not always be the case, because what you want to do is maximize profits. So if grain prices are going to go down, you may use a little bit less fertilizer in some cases. Now, again, in some cases, that may turn out to be the same as maximizing yields, but in a lot of cases, it may not be. So you're probably going to want to watch your level of fertilization with lower grain prices.
Well, let's get right to predicting fertilizer prices. And you say that anhydrous ammonia tends to be the pace setter here. Why so?
Well, that's kind of the leading fertilizer, it seems like to me, and it's really the easiest one to kind of come up with a price estimate for, because we actually make anhydrous ammonia or ammonia basically out of thin air. It's really what it does. It's kind of a catalytic reaction. They basically burn natural gas, and that reacts with the nitrogen in the air. You know, basically the air we breathe is mostly nitrogen anyway. And through that process of doing that, and again, I'm not a chemist to explain all the chemistry right behind it, but basically they take that burning of natural gas, they combine it with the air, nitrogen in the air, and you end up with ammonia gas, which is the start of anhydrous ammonia. And again, that leads to all the nitrogen products, and all the other fertilizers kind of follow from there. There's this really strong correlation between your P and K and the price of anhydrous.
And the price of anhydrous is linked more closely to actual oil and gas prices than natural gas prices, you say?
Yeah, you would think that the anhydrous ammonia price would follow the natural gas price, but I've done some research on that, and I have found that's not really always the case. I don't know, but maybe the natural gas price tends to be a little more volatile than what the oil price was. So in my analysis, I tend to look at what the price of oil has been as a driver of the supply side for anhydrous ammonia as opposed to the natural gas side. It seems to have a much better correlation correlation. It makes my model work a lot better. And again, you know, oil and natural gas can substitute in a lot of cases, so it kind of makes sense that you can use oil in your analysis. It doesn't have the price jumps you see, variability that you see on the natural gas side.
So those are your baselines from which you've come up with an outlook for 2017.
Well, then we also have to remember, too, that we have the on the demand side for anhydrous ammonia, we have to look at the corn price. So in my analysis, I'm looking at the corn price as a driver for the amount of demand for anhydrous ammonia, with higher corn prices leading to more higher demand for anhydrous ammonia and vice versa, and then looking at the supply side being driven by the price of oil, which was saying that if you have cheaper oil, that means producers of anhydrous ammonia are going to make more anhydrous ammonia because their inputs are cheaper.
So last year, you note, we saw five-year lows in most fertilizer prices. But here in 2017, you're suggesting that we'll see increases in those prices.
Yeah, I think if you look at my model that I developed, I'm seeing that actually the model works best with an oil price when you lag it by 10 months. So we already know what the oil price is that happened 10 months ago. And if we look at the oil prices going forward, we're looking at a little bit of an increase going forward into the summer over what it has been in the past, and especially what it is right now. So just based on what the oil prices have been, I think that would tend to say that at least from the oil price side, that would probably add about $30 a ton to the anhydrous ammonia side. And again, we don't really know what the corn price is going to be, but assuming it holds steady or so, you know, that wouldn't do anything for that. But just the oil price alone, I think, is going to probably add at least $30 a ton to the anhydrous ammonia price.
You're basing this on the latter part of last year, what, $37.50 per barrel for oil. Now we're looking at oil per barrel roughly $50 or better. So that's the correlation you're talking
about. Yeah. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if we kind of see a slow, steady increase in the price of anhydrous ammonia probably all throughout the summer going into fall here. Again, I don't think we're going to be anything, you know, as bad as what we were maybe like 3 years ago, but I certainly expect probably higher fertilizer prices than we've seen the last 2 years.
Now, on the other side, we don't want to overlook it once again, the corn price. You do speculate that a dime change in corn price will result in X amount of higher or lower prices for ammonia and anhydrous ammonia.
Yeah. So again, it's kind of hard to say what the corn price is going to be coming in during the summer of this year here. Mm-hmm. So assuming it's held steady, that won't affect that side of it. But again, you know, if we do see some higher increases in corn price over the summer, that would add even more to the fertilizer price.
Roughly $4.75, you say, per ton.
Yes.
If we see a 10% hike in corn prices, but there's no lag to that corn price effect.
That's I developed the model basically looking at current corn price kind of driving the current price of the anhydrous ammonia.
And other fertilizer types will follow suit if, in fact, anhy climbs a bit here in 2017?
Yeah, that's been my analysis so far. There's a pretty strong correlation between all these different fertilizers. And I would say almost anhydrous ammonia is kind of the driver behind the other fertilizers that you're seeing there. So I think any increase you see in the anhydrous ammonia market is also going to help raise all the other fertilizer prices. You know, so certainly on the nitrogen fertilizers, that's going to be a given. Those are going to follow. But even the P and K side of things, those are going to probably follow upward too if the anhydrous ammonia prices goes up.
All right. Well, Greg, lastly, and in practical application, for this seems to be quite a point of discussion heading into the planting season, whether producers will plant more or less corn or more or less soybeans. And do you see the fertilizer trend with these somewhat higher prices in play affecting that acreage decision?
Yeah, I think that's at least part of it. You know, in this current economic time for farmers, I think we're almost in almost another cash flow crisis like we were back in the first farm crisis. So cash is pretty critical for most farmers right now. And the one thing about soybeans is that that's a lot lower input use crop than what corn is. So your cost of putting a crop out for soybeans is going to be less than it is for corn, certainly on the fertilizer side, because you don't really need any nitrogen fertilizer. So that has that going for it, the fact that you can plant soybeans and not have to worry about nitrogen so much. And really, all the inputs themselves are going to be less than corn. So to me, that's going to favor the soybeans over corn, really just looking at it from a cash flow need from farmers' perspective.
But by the same token, you would suggest producers not make that decision solely on fertilizer prices. Numerous other inputs to consider here.
Oh, yeah. Certainly look at your bottom line, look at the crop budgets and see what your profitability is on a per acre basis for all these different things. And then you can kind of maybe look at the cash flow as a secondary issue. But yeah, certainly the main criteria should be your expected profits from each of the crops.
But one component of this whole decision on what to plant is, in fact, fertilizer price and the costs that you might incur by your fertilizer applications. There is a great write-up that Greg has put together based on his analysis, which you can find now at agmanager.info, out of K-State, simply entitled Predicting Fertilizer Prices. It covers the full analysis. Greg, thanks so much for an overview of it right here. We appreciate your time.
All right. You're welcome.
He is agricultural economist Greg Ibendahl of K-State. And that article, again, at agmanager.info. It looks at recent trends in fertilizer prices and what factors do influence those fertilizer costs for you producers to consider in your management.